Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tahvayi. In this news analysis, we'll be discussing the dangers of a blowback from Syria, and our focus will be on Lebanon, in which for a week now, clashes have broken out in the northern city of Tripoli between supporters and opponents of the Syrian government, leaving many dead and wounded. We'll be asking our guests whether this is part of a greater plan by Western governments and some Arab countries to destabilize Lebanon as well as Syria.
Gun battles in Lebanon's northern port city of Tripoli. Over the past week, over a dozen people have been killed and nearly 90 others have been wounded. Clashes have raised fears that another civil war in the country may be in the making. Lebanon is still reeling from 15 years of civil war, and this time around it's the Saudi-backed militants who are showing their fangs to the Lebanese population. Two major districts in Tripoli are affected by violence. Jabal Mohsen, dominated by a pro-Syrian community, and Bab el-Tabaneh, dominated by a Salafist community that opposes the Syrian government. Reports say there is an increased presence of al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, as well as members of the foreign-backed armed group calling itself the Free Syrian Army in Bab el-Tabaneh.
There is a growing momentum for certain Salafist figures and Salafist movements who are supported and financed by Saudi Arabia and also Qatar. Qatar in particular is financing and being involved in assisting certain Salafist groups. The movement of Fath al-Islam, which fought against the Lebanese army back in 2007, which is an affiliate of al-Qaeda, it is said that this movement now has a renewed presence in Tripoli.
Analysts say the presence of these groups is in line with Saudi and Qatari efforts to harm the administration of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The two countries financially and logistically assist anti-Assad gangs in Syria and Lebanon. Experts say these forces have been trying to secure a safe passage for Salafist militants into Syria.
The same forces that are intervening in Syria are also intervening in northern Lebanon and Tripoli. There is a plan to create a base for terrorism in Tripoli and force all the Sunnis in Tripoli who support the Syrian government to leave the city in order to create a zone for one specific political movement.
In order to defuse mounting tensions, the Lebanese army is beefing up its presence in Tripoli. Prime Minister Mikati says he is concerned about efforts to drag Lebanon more and more into the conflict in Syria and has called on Lebanese leaders to cooperate and protect the country from the looming danger. But it seems that the situation is getting out of control as political leaders have failed to help contain the violence. And it's just the residents of Tripoli who are bearing the brunt of violence as both their lives and livelihoods are being affected.
Well, let's get this discussion going. Let me introduce our guest. We have from London, Issa Al-Achar, who's from the Syrian Social Club. From Beirut, Hisham Jaber, a retired army general. And from Tripoli, via Skype, Sheikh Omar Bakri, who's a Salafist activist, joining us. Gentlemen, welcome. I'd like to start with you first, Sheikh Omar Bakri. We're looking at this spillover from Syria, which is happening in Lebanon, and it is focused in Tripoli only, at least at this point. Why is that?
I think simply because the Syrian regime on its deathbed. It is a matter of days will be over. Bashar al-Assad, he could be run away either in Tehran or maybe in Russia. It is really what's going on. The pro-Syrian forces or alliances in Lebanon are fighting on behalf of the bad corrupted regimes in Syria against those who are opposition for that regime in Lebanon. So I think it's better for them if to think, you see, about the future of the region and they will be better off without Assad regime. I think the Assad regime committed a lot of crimes and massacres, make it so difficult to have any reconciliation. And playing, you know, the cards of a USA conspiracy in the regions and the cards that is they are resisting the state of Israel, all this no longer the people can take it. Nobody anti-Israel more than the people in the region. Nobody anti-America more than the people in the region. So all what happened, the people looking for freedom, looking for choosing their own system, they no longer want Assad family. They welcome non-Muslims from any community, from any school of thought, Alawi, Sunni, Christian, Muslim. They welcome to live together as a Syrian people. But you cannot force upon the people that dictators, the way Saddam Hussein used to be forced upon the people in Iraq, the way Qaddafi forced upon the people in Libya, etc., and Mubarak in Egypt. I think there is Islamic spring in the region. Bashar al-Assad, he could really save a lot of people's life if he really left the desk with some dignity, left his chair. But unfortunately, he thought he will be much better because he used to support the Lebanese resisting or Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Okay.
I think even Hezbollah is about five of them now to turn themselves away from that corrupted regime and stand together with the people in the north and the south of Lebanon.
Okay. You made your points there, in which Hisham Jabbar, I'd like to bring you in. Our guest there seems to think that Bashar al-Assad shouldn't stay at the same time that he goes against Israel, goes against the United States and other countries that he mentioned, perhaps that I didn't get. These are the same countries that he has actually voiced discontent and disagreements with, but he says it's okay for those countries to be part of this game. What do you have to answer to our guest there, Sheikh Omar Bakri?
With all my respect to Sheikh Omar Bakri, I don't think personally that President Assad or the Syrian regime has any interest to create a struggle in Lebanon. On the other hand, everybody knows that they failed to create a buffer zone in Turkey, between Turkey and Syria. They came to the weakest part in the Lebanese body, which is north of Lebanon, and started in Ankara. Everybody knows this. When Senator McCain came to Beirut and was talking about buffer zone in North Lebanon, then he changed his mind when he was on the land. They went to Plan B. Plan B was not a buffer zone, which will not be feasible or accepted. A Plan B was to create no man's land, to kick out the Lebanese security forces and the army from Akkar, and to create a region like Waziristan in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And Tripoli is not far away from Akkar. They have many elements to relate them to Syria, geography and economy and political relations and historical relations and social relations. Everybody knows that Tripoli always has been and still called Tarablus al-Sham. That is related to Syria. What's going on in Syria, in Tarablus, in Tripoli now, in my opinion, was expected. It's another copy, small copy of the demographic and political struggle in Syria. In Tripoli, there are Sunni and there are Alawi and Christian, etc., etc. Briefly, there is two communities. One community, which is in Baal Mahsen, Jabal Mahsen, Alawi, but it's under one single command, who is Mr. Eid, Ali Eid and his son. On the other hand, you have different organizations working in Bab al-Tabbani. You have many Salafists, you have other organizations, jihadi organizations, you have people, militia belongs to some politicians, and some of those politicians are member in the Lebanese government. For this reason, we cannot control all those groups of armed groups in Bab al-Tabbani. Now there is escalation in the fighting in Tripoli. They are talking only about Bab al-Tabbani and Jabal Mohsen. Now there is fighting in Al-Zahriye. We did discover that two sides, they have heavy weapons like mortars. And the government of Lebanon is very weak, cannot make one single decision to govern to cover the armed forces. The army is not in very good situation in Tripoli. The army needs political and juridical cover. The whole government in Lebanon
Okay, we're going to get to the point that you're making about the army in a minute. Let me just bring in Issal Char into the discussion here. Issal Char, we just heard an overview of the political makeup, along with the different the makeup of the general population there in Tripoli, and of course, given how volatile that the situation may be, tell us how countries like the United States, perhaps, and Saudi Arabia, or other countries that perhaps you can name, are going to inflame this tension, and of course, what their gain is going to be from that.
The plot is long going, actually. It goes back for years, and it started after the Iraq War. If I could take you back there, after the Iraq War, we started getting certain jihadists filtering into Iraq, and the Western community and the international community stayed quiet about the crimes those jihadists, or extremists, I should say, committing in Iraq. And what happens, what was happened in the after the Iraq War, the West had encouraged having two blocks, a bloc led by Iran and a bloc that's led by Saudi Arabia and recently now Qatar. The West has actually put fuel on this two group on the this groups and tried to agitate the situations. So after this the opportunity of the Arab Spring, the West had seen there an opportunity for the reinitiation of what they started back in the past when they drew the Sykes-Picot Agreement, is to redraw the map of the region, redraw the map of the regions based on ethnicity, redraw the map of the region based on sectarianisms. So divide and you will rule. And this will come into the hands of the Israelis' intentions, and it will make life easier for the Israelis to spread farther in the region.
Okay, let me just bring in a reaction. Hold on to your thoughts from Sheikh Omar Bakri. Given what our guest there in London has said, you still believe that they should be, these countries that our guest there mentioned, a part of what you believe is for Assad to be removed? You still agree with that, of the havoc that's going to cause, of the disaster that's going to entail, the consequences of it?
You must admit one thing. Sunni community are the majority in the region. You like it or don't like it, the Sunni giants are awakening. There is Islamic awareness and there is Islamic spring. Assad is over. You see, it is better for the Alawis and the Shi'as and the Christians in the region to recognize Sunnis are in the region are majorities. For years, they are living under isolation, oppression. You name us many names. There's no Qaeda in Lebanon. We don't need. There is nobody except called to the regimes or Qatar regimes supporting the people in Tripoli. All this is fallacy. It's in your own mind. I was listening to your report. Let us wake up. The Islamic spring in the region is, and to review its policies with that current regime, your relationship with the Syrian people, not with the Syrian regime. It is a mistake to keep the relationship with the regime who's going to be over, instead to be relationship with the people. The people of Syria, Alawi or Sunni or Shia, or they have the right to live in freedom, to live in a system which is full of justice, not oppression. Assad is going over, is over. I'm telling you, 80% in the hand of the Mujahideen now in Syria. You like it, you don't like it, 85% of Syria in the hand of the Mujahideen. Tripoli is open, from Tripoli all the way to Qusair and Homs. It's called the Northern Suburb. The Lebanese government cannot do anything now. What happened in Tibana and Lebanon now
let's
is
get a
different.
Reaction.
You know,
you're making a lot of points there. You're making a lot of points. Let me get a reaction from Hisham Jaber. There's plenty of points there for you to react to. I'm curious, when our guest talks about Mujahideens, when we have fighters that are also have Al-Qaeda elements involved from different nationalities, where that fits in with Mujahideens who are not of Syrian descent. I'm not too sure where it fits in. You can elaborate more when it comes to people's rights, and he mentions a sectarian flavor into the conversation. But go ahead, Hisham Jaber.
Yes, sir. I don't think there is a civil war will happen very soon in Lebanon. Instead, there is a fighting in Tripoli. This escalation of fighting in Tripoli, which, as I said, it's a little copy like what's going on in Syria. Of course, there are a lot of elements belong to Al-Qaeda or similar in Syria. We do estimate the number 3,000 or 4,000. We don't have that number in Lebanon. We don't have a real organization of Al-Qaeda who are working in Lebanon. I think what's going on in Lebanon, no, with all my respect to my friend, Sheikh Omar, I think the Lebanese government can stop in few days what's this struggle in Tripoli if it will make a real serious decision among the government and head by the president, who is the highest commander of the Lebanese armed forces. They can create a state of emergency in Tripoli and put every leader, political leader in Tripoli, to sign a commitment that they will not cover any gunman in Tripoli. And this time, the army can work easily. I can ensure a ceasefire, but I don't say it will be over. Everything will be over. The game will not be over, because the army is capable and able to solve a security problem, but the army is not capable or able, and it's not its role to solve a political problem. The political problem must be solved by politicians, by the government. We can at least minimize the damage in Lebanon. Of course, Lebanon is affected by what's going on in Syria. In this side, I agree with Sheikh Omar Bakri. But I always said, since Syria did not enter yet into a civil war, will not have a civil war in Lebanon.
Okay.
But if in a few months Syria will go into a civil war, I think everything will be out of control and Lebanon will be affected, Jordan and Iraq.
Issa Al-Char, you know, there's a camp that says perhaps that people in Syria and the government there, and this is, again, a hypothetical assumption, wouldn't love anything more than for there to be a distraction, perhaps, of what is happening in Lebanon. But that's not the case. Really, the FSA even has been cited for its general to have come into Tripoli in order to establish that launching pad if it hasn't been established already. So that puts into question what our guest there in Beirut, Hisham Jaber, also mentioned, that does there need to be a coordinated and a decision made by the army to coordinate itself, get into this area and clear it out of any opposition in terms of the FSA, at least, so that Tripoli is going to be spared by being used as a launching pad?
I think so. It's a war on Syria from a three borders. You've got something that's happening on the Turkish border, you've got something that's happening on the Jordanian border, and you've got something happening on the Lebanese border. The escalation on the Lebanese border is very, very dangerous, because what happens is there is already an arsenal of weapons in Lebanon that has been waiting to be transported to Syria. Some of it has filtered into Syria back in January and November last year, have managed to actually be filter into Syria. However, there is a lot more arson that could come through Lebanon. And the escalation that could happen is the whole region will actually then fall into chaos and will actually then be in the hands of the Western and colonial governments. It'll play part in dividing the region. It'll play part in securing a prosperity for the Israelis that they have dreamed for for the last 40 years, and perhaps potential expansion for the Israelis into territories in Syria and Lebanon further, as well as breaking the whole infrastructure in Syria. It is very, very, very important now for the army in Syria and in Lebanon, and as well as that in Jordan as well, to stand together and to try and actually prevent this infiltration of arms, this movement of militants from those countries into Syria, because what we will see at a later stage is an escalation of violence into the whole region. And right. I agree with Hisham Jaber, it will spread all the way to even Iraq, and it might even reach Turkey. This is a very, very dangerous situation. If I may say something, just to comment on what Sheikh Bakri had said, the United States and the colonial powers do not have the interest of the Syrian people in hand. All they are interested in is the security of Israel. We have to look at this as Syrians, as Arab nationals, as people living in the regions. We have lived in peace. We have, as secular countries, Lebanon and Syria, we have interrelationships as sects, as religions. And this, we have to preserve this secularism. Yes, religion, you could practice your religions, and religions drive people to be peaceful and not to use religion as a platform for violence against each others. This is what we have to watch for, and this is what we have to preserve, not just for ourselves, but for the future generations of the region.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you very much, Issa Al-Char there from London. He's from the Syrian Social Club. Also like to thank Hisham Jaber, retired Army General from Beirut. And we also had Sheikh Omar Bakri from Tripoli, a Salafist activist. And of course, thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Do send us any comments or suggestions that you may have. Newsroom@presstv.ir is our email address. For me, Kavit Tahvi, and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.